All right, let's do this. A deep dive into the Psalms. We're going deep, though, like X-ray vision deep, with this thing called the form critical approach.
Oh, I love this stuff. It's
Yeah.
like discovering the blueprints,
Yeah, the blueprint.
behind these ancient
The
writings.
Psalms. Powerful stuff.
Powerful and way more than just, random emotional outbursts or poetry. There's structure there, intentional patterns.
Okay, so wait, are we saying King David didn't write all the Psalms? Because those headings, right?
Yeah, the headings. You've hit on a point of debate for
Yeah.
sure. Most scholars would say no, David probably didn't write every single one.
Interesting.
We look at language, historical context, we compare to other ancient hymns, and it all kind of points away from single authorship.
So it's like detective work,
Exactly.
piecing it together.
And one of the big names, like the Sherlock Holmes of this, is a scholar named Hermann Gunkel. He's the pioneer of form criticism.
Okay, Gunkel, tell me more about him. What did he do with the Psalms?
Gunkel was all about the details. Language, mood, structure,
Got it.
the nitty-gritty, and then comparing them, right? Comparing the songs to other ancient hymns, he discovered something huge.
Okay.
They're not just random, they fit into categories. Each category has its own purpose.
Hold on. Categories, we're not talking sad psalms and happy psalms, are we? Like,
I
it's a
want
little too
more
basic.
nuance than that. Gunkel found five main types: hymns of praise, royal psalms, then you got your individual laments, communal laments, and thanksgiving psalms.
Interesting. But are these categories like made up or is there something more to it?
Well, look at 1 Chronicles 16,
Okay.
King David. He appoints these Levites to minister before the ark, right? What are their duties? Invoking God, thanking him, praising him. Sound familiar?
Wow. Yeah. It's like those categories were there all along.
Maybe.
Okay. So we got hymns of praise. I get that, praising God. But royal psalms, what are those all about?
So the king, right, he's often the focus, but he's representing the people, their relationship with God.
Ah, so not just the king's personal prayer time.
Right.
It's about his role leading the nation in that relationship.
Exactly. His victories, seen as God's blessing on everyone,
Makes sense.
and his struggles, well, those might reflect the struggles of the people too.
Okay, yeah, I can see how these categories could really add to our understanding.
And absolutely.
Maybe even clear up some stuff that seems confusing, right?
Totally. Like Psalm 51.
Okay, Psalm 51.
A lot of people read that as David rejecting animal sacrifices.
You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings.
Yeah.
I've heard that interpretation.
Right. But the form of that psalm, it's a lament, a cry for forgiveness.
Ah, okay.
So in that context, a big celebratory sacrifice wouldn't fit. He's repenting of a very specific sin, the murder of Uriah and the affair with Bathsheba. Not exactly party time.
Wow. Yeah, good point. I'm seeing how this works now. We're looking at the words, but also the form, the
It
context,
all
and then
matters.
we can understand the purpose. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
But it does bring up some interesting questions too, doesn't it? Like, why does God command us to praise him? A lot of Psalms do that.
Yeah.
Feels a bit like, hey, remember how great I am.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. But C.S. Lewis had a different perspective, something I find really helpful. Oh.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So Lewis says, praising God isn't about boosting God's ego, but about us recognizing and appreciating true beauty and goodness.
Interesting.
It's about training ourselves, to
Yeah.
see the world through a different lens. Gratitude and wonder.
So it benefits us, not God.
Exactly. It helps us break free from being so self-centered and
Okay.
experience more joy.
That's a pretty profound way to look at it.
Yeah.
But wait, if we're talking about true goodness, beauty, doesn't that kind of bring up the question of, well, how do we define those things?
That's a great question. And it leads us to another interesting category of Psalms, the Songs of Zion.
Songs of Zion. Okay. First time hearing about these. What are those?
These were psalms specifically connected to a place, Mount Zion in Jerusalem.
Ah, so the context matters again. But why is location so important here?
Well, for the Israelites, Zion was more than just a spot on the map, right? It represented God's presence, their history, their identity.
Ah, I see. I can see why those Songs of Zion would have been so powerful.
Yeah.
It's like they're infused with all that meaning, all tied to that one place.
Exactly. Think about this. When they were exiled to Babylon, their captors would taunt them, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion."
Ouch.
Right.
That must have been incredibly painful.
It was.
Like a constant reminder of what they'd lost.
Well.
So in a way, these Psalms of Zion, they're almost like laments too, aren't they? Like cries of longing for their homeland and God's presence.
You got it. It just shows you how these categories can kind of blend into each other sometimes. But let's back up for a sec
Okay.
to Gunkel and his method.
Right.
How did he actually decide which psalm went in which category? Did he just like have a
Yeah,
feeling?
that's what I'm wondering too. It
Yeah.
seems a bit subjective, doesn't it?
Well, he didn't just go with his gut. He was
Okay.
super thorough, looking for common threads, words, phrases, moods, structural patterns. It was like a puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
But instead of shapes, he's looking for clues in the text itself.
So, like, if a psalm starts with "Praise the Lord" and ends with "Hallelujah," that's probably a hymn of praise, right?
Bingo. But it goes deeper than that, too.
Okay.
He looked for more subtle stuff, the verbs being used, how ideas were connected, even the overall tone of the psalm.
So it's like those word searches, but instead of finding words in a jumble of letters, Gunkel was finding hidden structures and themes within the Psalms.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is, he did all this before computers and fancy software,
Oh, wow.
all by hand, meticulous work.
That's impressive. But I gotta ask, how reliable is this approach, really? Couldn't different scholars come up with different categories?
Sure, totally. There's always room for debate, different interpretations. But even if the categories aren't set in stone, what Gunkel did was revolutionary. He gave us a new way to understand the songs, a framework to go beyond surface level.
So it's a starting point,
Exactly.
not the final word. We could use his insights to do our own investigating, come to our own conclusions.
That's the spirit. It's about engaging with the text, asking questions,
Yeah, back.
being open to new discoveries. And, you know, as insightful as Gunkel was, even he might have missed a category.
Oh, you mentioned this earlier, right? Instructional psalms.
Yep. They're not about praise or lament, but about teaching, guiding, like Psalm 1, for example,
Right.
talking about the two paths in life, the righteous and the wicked. It's not a song, really, more like a wisdom teaching.
Yeah, reflection on how to live a good life.
Exactly. And it kind of sets the stage for the whole book of Psalms, don't you think? Like, it's prompting us to think about our own choices,
I see that.
the path we're taking.
Interesting. So, context, categories, purpose.
Yeah.
It seems like the Psalms aren't just this random collection of poems, but a carefully crafted
You're
collection,
right.
each one with its own aim.
Yeah, precisely. And understanding those aims is key to unlocking the deeper meaning and power.
Okay, I'm convinced. The form critical approach is valuable,
Yeah.
but how does this actually help me as I read the Psalms? Like, what difference does it make in my everyday life?
Let me give you an example. Imagine you're reading Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd.
That one,
Yeah, beautiful.
knowing that it's a psalm of trust,
Okay.
helps you appreciate the depth of that imagery.
So the shepherd isn't just a random metaphor. It's pointing to this idea of God as a protector, a guide, someone who provides, who cares for us.
Exactly. And when you understand the form, you can also start to recognize the nuances of Hebrew poetry.
Oh, interesting.
Like the phrase, I shall not want.
Yeah.
It's not just about material stuff.
Right.
It's about having all our needs met in God, feeling complete and secure in His presence.
That's beautiful. But let's be real. Sometimes this whole academic jargon can feel a bit intimidating, like you need a PhD to get it.
I hear you.
Right.
Scholarship can get a little heady, I know. But the thing about the Psalms is they were meant for everyone.
Okay.
Shepherds, kings, everyday people.
So you're saying you don't need to be a Bible scholar to appreciate them, to connect with them.
Not at all. Gunkel's work gives us a helpful lens, but the real power comes from experiencing the Psalms, reading them aloud, maybe even singing them,
Right.
letting those words really sink in.
So it's like scholarship can illuminate the text, but ultimately it's about letting the psalms speak to our hearts.
Exactly. And when we approach them with that open heart, even the most challenging parts can offer us profound insights.
Speaking of challenging, let's circle back to those psalms where God commands us to praise him. I'm still wrestling with that one, even with the C.S. Lewis explanation.
It's definitely something to ponder.
Yeah.
But remember, it's not about God's ego, but about us recognizing and aligning ourselves with what's truly good, worthy of praise.
So we're training ourselves to see the world differently, to see it with more gratitude and wonder.
Right.
And that changes how we experience the world, our place in it.
Exactly. It's about shifting our perspective away from self-centeredness
Yeah.
towards a deeper connection with something much bigger than ourselves.
You know what? I'm starting to think this whole form critical approach, it's not really about analysis at all. It's about transformation, letting the Psalms shape not just our minds, but our hearts too.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's about moving from just knowing about the Psalms to actually experiencing them.
This has been amazing. I feel like I've been given a whole new toolbox for understanding and experiencing the Psalms.
And we're just getting started.
Oh, there's more.
There's so much more. There's the Hebrew poetry, the emotional depth of the laments, the connection to music and words.
Okay, man, I'm already hooked. I want to learn more. But for now, I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about, right?
Absolutely. So for you listening, think about your favorite Psalm. Which category does it fit into? Does it take on a new meaning for you knowing that? Let us know.
And remember, the Psalms are meant to be experienced, not just analyzed. So after this deep dive, go back and read a few. Out loud, even. Let the words wash over you. See what resonates. That's where the real power lies.
Beautifully said.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
I love it. Mount Zion. In Jerusalem. Oh. And for the Israelites, Zion was way more than just like a dot on a map, you know?
Right. More than just a location.
It was God's presence.
Okay.
Their history, their identity as a people, all wrapped up in one place.
So these songs of Zion, they were like supercharged with meaning.
Absolutely.
All tied to that specific spot.
Think about this. Okay. When they were in exile in Babylon, their captors would actually taunt them. Like, sing us one of the songs of Zion.
Oh, wow. Brutal.
Right. So imagine that, having to sing those songs, these songs of longing.
It's almost like those songs of Zion.
Yeah.
They became laments too, in a way. Cries for their homeland.
Exactly.
For God's presence.
You get it. The categories can overlap, you know?
Yeah.
But back to Gunkel for a sec.
Okay.
How did he figure out which psalm went where? Like, was it just a gut feeling?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. How can you be sure a psalm is a lament or a praise song or whatever?
Well, he had a method.
Okay.
He was super thorough, looking for patterns, words, phrases, moods, structures. It was like putting a puzzle together.
Ah, okay.
But instead of shapes, he's looking for clues in the text itself.
So if a psalm starts with praise the Lord and ends with hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's probably a hymn of praise.
You got it. But he went deeper, too, looking at verbs, how ideas were connected, even the tone of the psalm, you know?
So it's like those word searches, but instead of words, he's looking for, like, hidden structures, themes within the psalms themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all this before computers, before fancy software.
Wow.
All by hand.
That's incredible. But how reliable is all this? I mean, couldn't different scholars come up with totally different categories?
Oh, absolutely. There's always room for debate, different interpretations. But even if the categories aren't, like, the final word, what Gunkel did was huge.
Yeah.
He gave us a whole new framework for understanding these texts, a way to go beyond just surface level.
So it's a starting point.
Exactly.
Not the end.
Right.
We can use his insights to do our own digging.
I love that.
Come to our own conclusion.
Yeah.
It's about engaging with the text, asking questions, being open to new discoveries.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And Gunkel, as smart as he was, might have even missed a category.
Oh, you mentioned that earlier, right? The instructional psalms.
Those are the ones.
Okay, remind me about those. What are those all about?
They're not about praise, not lament. More about teaching, guiding.
Okay.
Take Psalm 1, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Two paths.
Right, the righteous and the wicked.
That's it. It's less of a song, more like a wisdom teaching.
Yeah, a guide to living a good life.
And it sets the tone for the whole book, I think. Makes us think about our own choices. The path we're on.
It's interesting how this all ties together, you know?
Hmm.
Context, categories, purpose.
It's all connected.
It's like the Psalms aren't just random poems thrown together. There's a real intentionality there, right?
Absolutely. And when we understand that intention, the deeper meaning and power really opens up.
Okay, I'm sold. Form criticism is valuable. But how does it help me? Like, what difference does it make in my life?
Here's an example.
Okay.
You're reading Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd.
That's the one. Knowing it's a psalm of trust helps you really grasp the imagery there.
Ah, so the shepherd isn't just some random metaphor. It's pointing to God as our protector. Our guide.
Exactly. Someone who provides for us, cares for us. And when you get the form, you can also start to appreciate the nuances of Hebrew poetry.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Well, like that phrase, I shall not want. It's not just about material stuff, you know?
Right.
It's about having our needs met in God.
Okay.
Feeling complete, secure in his presence.
That's beautiful. But sometimes, gotta be honest, all this academic stuff, it can be a little much.
I know what you mean.
Like you need a PhD just to understand it.
It can get heady, that's for sure.
Right. But these psalms, They were written for everyone, right?
Exactly.
But regular people.
Shepherds, kings, everyone.
So you don't need to be a scholar to appreciate them, to connect with them?
Not at all. Gunkel gives us tools, yeah, but the real power is in the experiencing. Reading them aloud, maybe singing them.
Right, right.
Letting them really soak in.
It's like scholarship illuminates the text.
Yes.
But the real magic happens when those words touch our hearts.
You said it. And when we come to them with an open heart, even the toughest parts can give us real insight.
Speaking of tough parts, let's go back to those songs where God tells us to praise him. I'm still kind of stuck on that.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
Even with the C.S. Lewis angle.
It's something to think about for sure. But it's not about making God feel good, right? It's about us recognizing what's truly good, what's worthy of praise.
So it's about training ourselves to see the world through that lens, the lens of gratitude, wonder.
It changes how we experience everything.
Yeah.
Our place in it all.
You know, I'm starting to think this form-critical approach, it's not really about analysis.
It's not.
It's about transformation.
Yes.
It's about letting these ancient words shape us, change us.
You're absolutely right. It's about moving from just knowing to truly experiencing.
This deep dive has been amazing. I feel like I have a whole new set of tools now, you know.
And that's just the beginning.
There's more.
Oh, there's so much more to explore. We haven't even talked about the Hebrew poetry, the laments, the connection to music, worship.
I'm already hooked. I want to hear it all. But for now, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about.
Definitely. So for everyone listening, think about your favorite psalm.
Yeah.
Which category does it fit into? Knowing that, does it change how you read it? Let us know.
And remember, the songs are meant to be experienced, not just studied. So after this deep dive, go back and read some. Out loud, even. Let those words sink in. See what speaks to you. That's where the real power is.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Until next time. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
Yeah.
I feel like we could just keep going.
I know, right?
The Psalms are just so rich.
They really are. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you said about this whole form critical approach. You said it's less about analysis and more about transformation.
Yeah, letting those Psalms shape us, you know, not just our heads, but our hearts.
Exactly. And when you understand the form of a Psalm, it's like you're given a key to unlock its emotional depth.
Okay, I like that. Give me an example. How does knowing the form actually change how we experience a psalm?
Let's take the laments. Those psalms of pain, grief,
even
anger.
Right, those can be tough to read.
They can be raw, uncomfortable.
It's like, is it even okay to complain to God like that? To tell him about our doubts and frustrations.
That's the beauty of it, though. The laments give us permission to bring all that to God. Mm-hmm. The messy parts, too.
Right.
And these laments, they were often used in communal settings, so.
Oh, so it wasn't just one person crying out to God on their own.
Exactly. Imagine a whole group of people coming together.
Wow.
Sharing their pain, their anger, their grief.
Yeah.
And finding comfort in knowing they weren't alone.
That changes things. It's not just about individual suffering anymore. It's about
community.
Yeah, finding connection and support in the midst of hard times.
Exactly. And that's just one example, you know?
Right.
Understanding the form lets us connect with the Psalms on a deeper level.
So we're not just reading them with our heads.
Right.
We're feeling them in our hearts, too.
Exactly. We're experiencing their power.
It's like form criticism is giving us a language to express our own experiences, our own joys and sorrows.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Hopes and fears.
And, you know, speaking of finding ourselves in the Psalms, there's this Jewish tradition that says each of us has a psalm that corresponds to our soul.
Wait, what? Like every single person has their own psalm.
That's what they say. Like each psalm is a mirror reflecting a different part of what it means to be human.
That's incredible. Makes me want to go back and read every single one again.
With fresh eyes.
Yeah, to see which one speaks to my soul.
And that's what I hope this deep dive has inspired you to do. Go back to the Psalms.
Yeah.
Approach them with curiosity, an open heart.
Right.
Let them speak to you.
This has been such an amazing journey. We've explored so much. The history, the structure, the emotional depth, the power of these ancient words.
And they're still so relevant today.
They really are. They offer us guidance, comfort.
Connection.
Yeah, a way to connect with something bigger than ourselves.
And remember, the Psalms are meant to be experienced. So go back, read them out loud if you can.
Yes.
Let those words wash over you.
See what resonates.
That's where the real power is.
So to all our listeners, we leave you with this challenge.
Yes.
Dive into the Psalms.
Find the one that speaks to your soul.
Let it be your guide, your comfort, your song.
And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning.
Oh, keep diving deep.
Yes.